We're continuing in our series, Holy Moments, and we're zooming in not just on a, not just reading a whole story, but today we are reading a whole story, but in that story we're zooming into moments that Jesus does something amazing and changes the situation. But before we look at God's word, I want to show you this image. This was my image, well, this isn't the actual photo. I didn't take a photo of the ward. But on Wednesday, and I share this with Marla's permission, on Wednesday this week, she had her adenoids removed. And I looked at her as she closed her eyes. She went to sleep, and then I was shown out into a corridor, and I was just told to sit and wait. And I felt completely and utterly helpless. I didn't have the skill to go and help the surgeons. I had the desire, but probably that wouldn't work. I didn't have finance to say, hey, if I give you a tenner, will you make sure it's a good one? Like, I couldn't do anything but pray. And that was a lonely place to be in. If you've been in that situation, you'll know how lonely that can be, just waiting and praying in a corridor where people are just walking past. And you want to kind of stop them and say, don't you know what I'm going through? But actually, it's just a lonely place. And all you can do is pray. Maybe you're in a lonely place this morning. I don't mean lonely just because that there aren't friends around you or people around you. Obviously, you're in a room with church family or people that could become your church family if you wanted to come along more frequently and join our church family. Maybe you feel isolated, or there are things that are going on in your life that you just think, I don't know what to do. I feel completely helpless. Questions, doubts, maybe disappointments. And these questions or doubts or disappointments make you feel as if you're in a lonely place, a place where you don't know how to carry on. Maybe you feel deserted or have felt deserted with no resource. Maybe you just don't believe that you can do what you need to do, and it's only a matter of time before someone finds out that you're unable or incapable. Today's message from Scripture is entitled Lessons from a Lonely Place. And we're zooming in on one word, eimos. Everyone say eimos. That's the phonetic way of saying the Greek words lonely, also translated as remote, also translated as uninhabited or lacking in resource, uncultivated, desolate, eimos. And we're looking at a passage where the people are in a lonely place, an eimos place, and God teaches them some lessons about himself that I think he wants us to learn this morning. Last week, James opened Scripture and he shared about a woman who was a sinner and was forgiven, and she gave exuberant worship and praise. Then in chapter 8 of Luke's Gospel, we see that Jesus doesn't just stay in that place, but he calms a storm. He restores a demon-possessed man. He raises a dead girl and heals a sick woman. Pretty cool. And then in chapter 9, where we're basing ourselves today, we read in the first few verses that he gathers the 12 and gives them power and authority to go and do the same things that he has been doing. And he sends them out. with nothing but his name. He says to them, don't take anything with you. So they have learnt to be in an Amos place or posture that they have nothing but Jesus. And they go and they demonstrate the kingdom of God by healing people, healing the sick. And they declare the kingdom of God and saying that Jesus is the Messiah, etc., etc. And we come to Luke chapter 9, verse 10. And they're gathering back with Jesus. But I just want us to pray as just before we read it. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word and the opportunity to read it in our own language. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that we believe will speak to each of us this morning. For any of us who have found ourselves in a lonely place, or are in that lonely place, or will be in that lonely place, that Amos place, I pray that your words will go down deep, and the lessons by your Holy Spirit will go down deep, so that we will learn from you and lean on you. For your glory, amen. Let's read God's word together. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. I love that. Each of them would have come back and gone to Jesus. There was this blind person, and we laid on hands and said, in Jesus' name, see. And they saw Jesus. And they would have gone back and said, there was someone who couldn't speak or couldn't walk, and we prayed for them. And wow, they walked and jumped and they could do things that they couldn't do. Jesus, people were healed in your name. And wow, people were responding to this news, this good news of your kingdom. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. And wow, can you imagine what would have been on Jesus' heart? As they came back and shared that, hey, well done, Peter. Well done, Judas. Well done, James. Well done, Andrew. Well done, Philip. Well done, Thaddeus. Well done, Matthew, also known as Levi, etc., etc. And he would have been chuffed to bits. And he then gathers them and says, come with me. He says, the passage goes on, then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learnt about it and followed him. Jesus welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. In Matthew's account of this passage and in Mark's account of this passage, it says that Jesus looked at the crowds and had compassion on them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. They had great need, and no one was able to deliver that need. He healed those who needed healing. Verse 12, late in the afternoon, the 12 came to them and said, send the crowd away so that they can go to surrounding villages and go to the surrounding villages and countryside. And find food and lodging, because we are in a Amos place, a remote place. He replied, you give them something to eat. They answered, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd. About 5,000 men were there. But Jesus said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of about 50 each. The disciples did so, and everyone sat down, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. And then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Apart from the resurrection of Jesus, this is the only miracle that is appearing in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why did God want this miracle in all 4 Gospels? I believe that he wants us to learn from it so that we can lean on him. Learn from him and what Jesus did in this passage so that we can lean on him more. He wants us to pay attention to this and not just leave it as a Sunday school story or a story that is cool about feeding loads of people, not just 5,000 men, but women and children also. We know that there were children there because in John's gospel, a little boy comes with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. John gives that detail that it was a little boy that Andrew brings to Jesus and gives Jesus the small barley loaves and 2 small fish. So children were definitely there as well as the men, and we can assume that there were women there also. The crowd were there, and Jesus doesn't turn the crowd away, he ministers to them. Jesus' compassion continues even though there's a crowd more than they can manage. And he ministers to them. And as evening draws on, whether it was out of a sense of lack in themselves or realizing that, hang on, Jesus is probably going to get tired, or they were tired, the disciples turn to Jesus and say, send them away because we're in a place of lack. We're in a place where we cannot do anything because around us, there isn't a Sainsbury's. There isn't a Co-op. Ooh, that's... There isn't an Asda or a Lidl. There aren't shops around us. We're in a remote place where we need to send the people away because they can't just pop to the shops and we don't have the money to go and provide for them. This is an image of just outside Bethsaida in Israel. We don't know nowadays whether there is a shop just off camera. But in those days, scripture tells us that they were in a remote place and a place that could not provide fully for the crowd. I wonder if you are in that place where you do not know how to provide or step forwards or move forwards. Because all around you, yes, it's nice and green and grassy. Matthew and Mark include that detail. Get them to sit down on the green grass kind of thing. But there isn't the provision that you need, the skill that you need, the resource that you need, the supply that you need, the comfort that you need, the healing that you need. The disciples say to Jesus, we're in an Amos place, we're in a lonely place, a remote place. And Jesus turns to them and says, you feed them. I wonder how you would have felt if Jesus turned to you, if you were there on that day and you saw the crowds and you saw the area around you and Jesus says to you, I'm giving you that responsibility. First lesson I want to highlight as we zoom in on this passage and the Amos place that the disciples found themselves in and Jesus found themselves in. It's only when we recognize our lack that we really learn to lean. My position on Wednesday was like this, leaning slightly forwards because they had pushed the chair back against the wall and there was a lip on the wall pushing out, so I couldn't lean back fully. So I was in this position. It was in a position of lack and that I needed to lean. Yes, I could have distracted myself out of it and said, I'll read or I'll message people or do my emails and things like that. But actually, that didn't feel right in my heart because my heart, my compassion was with Myla. We need to be in a position of lack and recognize our lack to help us learn to lean on Jesus. We have a village of 14,500 people, some of whom are followers of Jesus, some of whom became followers of Jesus yesterday, but many of whom are going to a lost eternity. They are spiritually hungry, even if they don't realize it. They're spiritually broken and spiritually dead, even if they don't realize it yet. And when we look out on our community, we need to have the same heart as Jesus and say, they're like a sheep. They're like sheep without a shepherd, and have compassion on them. And as a pastor in this church, I look at our village, our community, and I hear the words of Jesus saying, you feed them. I'm thinking, I can't get around 14,500 people. But hallelujah, we've got a whole church family. Wonderful, but hang on. Can we make a difference? Can we actually get around and share the good news of Jesus with 14,500 people and see people turn and believe in such numbers that actually there's a whole village saved by Jesus? Wouldn't that make the news? A whole village of 14,500 people turning and believing in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Can you picture what that would look like? Can you imagine what it would look like for the whole community? And maybe you're not from Chalfont and you need to picture it in your location. And when we look at the numbers, when we think about the numbers and the crowd, we're thinking, I'm in an Amos place. I cannot. I'm not good enough. I'm not big enough. I don't have the right resources. We're in a budget period as a church, and I look at the figures and I'm thinking, will they balance? Will we have enough finance to resource the things that God is calling us to do or to be? Our staff team, for example, already over capacity. Yes, we can release and delegate, etc., etc., but God, we're in an Amos place, so when God says to us, you feed them, I'm thinking, I can't. I don't know how. We're in a place that is lonely, desolate, lacking in resource. Maybe for you this morning, you need to recognize that you need, so you need to recognize your need and not just try and carry on. Maybe you need to recognize that you are in lack so that you can learn to lean. Admitting that you cannot do it by yourself, you cannot carry on by yourself. Lesson number one, it's only when we recognize our lack that we really learn to lean. Lesson number two comes from handing over to God anything that we have, even if it's nothing. Jesus takes the bread and the fish from the disciples, the small barley loaves and the two small fish, and he lifts them to heaven and he says, probably said, the blessing prayer that Jews at that time and even now say over meals where there is bread involved. They say, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. In Luke's gospel, in Matthew's gospel, in Mark's gospel, in John's gospel, it simply says that Jesus gave thanks to God, saying those words that would be said over every meal that there was bread, giving thanks to God, blessing him and saying, God, you are King of the universe. But then there's this phrase, who brings forth bread from the earth. And it's a reference back to Exodus chapter 16, where they recognize in their history, God has shown that he is completely and utterly reliable and able to bring something from nothing. Because in Exodus chapter 16, we read that Moses and a whole nation of Israel are in the wilderness, a remote, lonely place, desolate place, where they can't just pop to the shops and they have nothing. And God causes bread, manna, to appear on the ground out of nothing. If you are in a position where you are lacking because actually you have nothing to help you in the situation that you find yourself in or will find yourself in, God can do something with that nothing. But it's only when we realize our lack that we can learn to lean. And this prayer that Jesus prayed isn't just a prayer of thanksgiving, it's a prayer of faith. To say, God, I'm giving you what I have. And I'm trusting in you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 is often shared with people to encourage them to keep on going, to keep on trusting in the Lord God. I believe that sometimes we trust in the Lord with some of our heart and continue to lean on our own understanding and knowledge and things. We submit some of our ways to him and expect him to lead our path straight. This morning, as we learn to lean, as we learn from the lessons in this lonely place, I believe God is inviting us. There's a heavenly invite to trust God's with everything. Whatever situation you're in, to lean into him and say, God, I have nothing or I have lack, but I'm trusting in you. I'm leaning into you so that we can say that I'm trusting in the Lord with all of my heart and leaning not on my own understanding, but I'm in all of my ways submitting to him. And he will lead our path straight. Any of you fans of Only Fools and Horses? Yeah? There is no one over here. Wow, fans of Only Fools and Horses, well done. There's a scene for people over here that maybe not have seen this episode. David Jason, playing Del Boy, leans against a bar, and he's there in this bar, leaning against a bar and having a drink. And what he's leaning on is actually the entrance to go behind the bar. He thinks it's going to hold his weight, and he's leaning there. And he's having a drink and trying to look cool, trying to impress someone. And then one of the waiting staff lifts the thing, and he isn't looking, he doesn't notice, and he leans, and he falls. I wonder if sometimes we think that God is a bit like that bar, that he can hold us sometimes, but sometimes he's just going to move. In the first service, I leant up against this pillar, and I know that this pillar is strong enough for me to lean fully against. I'm not Samson. By pushing against this pillar, it's not going to fall down. It is strong enough. The foundations of this building are strong enough for us to stamp on them and to move around on them. This building isn't going to fall. It's built strong enough. I wonder if sometimes we put so much trust in buildings and chairs, like we trust that the chair will actually hold our weight, and we lean on the understanding that the chair will hold our weight, but when it comes to God, oh no, God's, is he strong enough? Elijah, in 1 Kings 17, he was in a lonely place. God had said, go there for safety. And he's by this brook, and he's thinking, what am I going to eat? And God provides bread and meat for him to eat. Out of nothing, God provides bread and meat. Elisha, in 2 Kings chapter 4, he has 20 bread rolls and 100 men to feed. And he goes, God, could he do something? And God feeds those 100 men. Time and time and time again in Scripture, we read of God's proving that he is able, that he is strong enough, that he is able enough. And we can lean on him. But it's to lean fully, not partially. That's the invite from heaven this morning. And when we do, as we learn to recognize and realize our own lack and release our situation to God and trust in him, he reveals his limitless power, presence, provision, and peace. He will always reveal his presence and peace. And sometimes he will not answer with provision or the power that we are asking for. And I find that really hard at times. Really, really hard at times. I come back to this verse. In all my ways I submit to him. That he is God and we are not. And therefore I'm submitting to God and recognizing my lack and my need, and leaning on him fully, and he will presence himself with us, and he will bring peace to us, and we also pray that he will bring his power and provision. I love the face on the character playing Andrew from The Chosen here. Just to say, so that I don't need to put it on the screen or on the online, if there's an image of the disciples or of Jesus, it's from The Chosen. So you know where the where the photos are from, copyright photos. I love the expression on his face. I wonder what it would have been like when Jesus... It says in verse 16 that Jesus, after he'd given thanks, he started giving the bread and the fish to the disciples, and he kept on giving it to them. I wonder what it would have been like to, first of all, for a disciple to pick up some of that bread and go, "What?" And the fish, and have it in their hands and feel that it's real. And then they started giving it out, and the basket didn't run dry or empty. And there was always enough, and there was always more. And the joy on Andrew's face just begins to kind of give us an understanding of that. When we realize our limits, our lack, and release the situation fully to Jesus, he will reveal his limitless power, presence, and provision and peace. I believe the Bible teaches that. I believe that God is going to provide for everything we need to reach this whole village. I believe that we are invited to lean in on him as a whole church family, to trust in him and to seek his provision. I believe that God is able to meet with each of us individually in our lonely places, presencing himself with us, bringing his peace, power, provision, and promise. And I believe that we are going to see in our community and in the situations that you and I face the application of this last verse. They all ate, verse 17, they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The disciples were in a position of lack and loneliness. They leant on Jesus and he provided in abundance. I wonder this morning, what lonely place God is calling you to lean in on him what lonely place that is, and he's inviting you to lean in on him. What you need to do during our time of worship now, we're going to have opportunity to come and step forwards. A step into a place of receiving prayer. To say, God, I'm leaning on you and not on my own understanding. I'm seeking you for provision and for peace and for presence and for your promise and power. I cannot do this. I'm in an Amos place. Can I encourage you to stand as the band come up? God, we recognize that we have nothing or very little. And in that position of humility, we come to you. For the lessons that you are teaching us from your word this morning, help us to learn to lean on you and to discover how trustworthy you are. God says that he will keep in perfect peace those who trust in him. It's from Isaiah 26, verse 3. God created the world out of nothing. He fed a nation out of nothing. He fed a crowd out of 2 small fish and 5 small loaves. Surely God can meet you in your situation. By your Holy Spirit, meet with us in this room and online. For those watching this service back in the future, we pray, God, that in that situation, there will be miraculous provision, presence, promise, and power. And I pray, God, that us in the present will know that answer to prayer as well. Teach us to lean, Lord, and help us to find that you are mighty. Amen.